I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, all else. And we come to you and worship at your feet. We place you, on the highest place.
Thank you, men, for opening our program with that song of worship. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. Do you ever think about how blessed you are to have access to God's Word? You can pick up a copy and read it whenever you want to. But many people in the world aren't so fortunate. Perhaps they can't afford a copy because they're poor. Perhaps the scriptures aren't available in their language yet. And maybe, where they live, it's illegal to possess a copy of God's Word. This morning I was reading about the country of Yemen, and there it's very difficult to have a copy of God's Word and to find a place to read it in private. At Heralds of Hope, part of our ministry is to help people have access to the scriptures. Through the years, we've distributed hundreds of thousands of copies of God's Word in a variety of languages. And that was made possible through the prayers and financial support of people just like you. People who understood the value of God's Word and had a desire to share it with others. Those who received a copy of the Scriptures will be eternally grateful, because now they can stand securely on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God.
Oh, glory, I am
standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Last week on The Voice of Hope, we began studying from Daniel chapter 10. Our study was titled, A Glorious Vision. We didn't get to finish that study, so we're returning to it today. Last time, we looked at the setting of Daniel's vision and also some of the effects the vision had on Daniel. As we resume our study, I will read Daniel chapter 10 and verses 10 to 21. Here is the Word of God. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these, except Michael, your prince. In verse 10, Daniel states that suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. The literal translation is, it shook me up upon my knees. This introduces a personage that's different from the one in the earlier verses. If that was indeed an appearance of God, then this must be an angel. So picture Daniel on his hands and knees, trembling, with his face toward the ground. The angel touches him and speaks, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. You know, John 3:16 expresses God's love for all people, but there are some people who seem to be objects of special, divine love. A couple of them come to mind. David, a man after God's own heart, and John, who is referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. With the aid of the angel, Daniel is strengthened enough so that he can stand upright, but his body continues to tremble in a state of extreme agitation. The angel reassures Daniel that he has nothing to fear. God's purpose in coming to him is gracious, it's loving, and is for the good of himself and his people. Verses 12 to 14 introduce us to a scriptural truth that we don't often think about, the unseen spirit world of both good and evil. Here, God is pulling back the curtain and giving us a glimpse into that world. After once more exhorting Daniel not to be afraid, the angel tells him that from the very first day of his mourning and fasting, his prayer had been heard. And he told Daniel that he had immediately been sent with the answer to the prayer. But there was opposition. He told Daniel he was opposed by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. And that opposition lasted 3 weeks, or 21 days. Now this prince isn't the king of Persia, but a demonic spirit who is assigned control over that jurisdiction. It's clear that he's evil because he's in opposition to God's messenger. Michael is the angelic prince who leads and protects God's people. This prince oversees the kingdom of Persia and its opposition to God's people. We must remember that the kingdoms of this world are temporarily under the control of Satan. We can see that in scriptures like Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, where Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if he would bow down and worship him. And we have to note, Jesus didn't say, "They're not yours to give." No, he had a different response. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:24, there's more talk about the kingdoms of this world. This scene of spiritual warfare reminds me of Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." All during this 21-day period of time, a battle was raging, unknown and unseen by Daniel. Michael's appearance tips the scales in favor of this messenger, allowing him to finally reach Daniel. And the messenger makes an interesting statement in verse 13. He says, "And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." Now, how was the messenger alone when Michael was there to help him? Well, Samuel Driver explains that the Hebrew word translated "left alone" doesn't signify to remain behind, but rather to remain over or to be superfluous, unnecessary. So once Michael joins the battle and prevails against the prince of Persia, this messenger that's now speaking to Daniel is free to go on his way. He's not needed there anymore. And then the messenger informs Daniel of the reason for his coming. "Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come." The term "latter days" is one that appears in the scriptures as early as Genesis chapter 49. There in verse 1, Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last or latter days." This time period seems to extend from Jacob's time until the second coming of Christ to the earth, and it encompasses the whole history of Israel and climaxes in the establishment of the earthly kingdom. Now I know some think the idea of Christ setting up an earthly kingdom, or what's commonly called the millennium, isn't to be taken literally. But I take the scriptures as literally as possible, and I believe this reign of Christ is exactly what it says. I also remind you of something else. After Jesus' resurrection, the disciples ask him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus didn't turn to them and say, "Hey guys, you've got it all wrong. There will be no earthly kingdom for Israel, or otherwise." He simply said that decision was not in the realm of their responsibility. This messenger ends his delivery by saying the message he gave through the vision was for many days in the future, that is, far beyond Daniel's lifetime. As we continue, let's look at the effects of Daniel's vision. Once again, Daniel is overcome by weakness and astonishment. He's rendered speechless, and he turns his face toward the ground. And once again, he is strengthened by a heavenly messenger. This angel touches his lips, restoring both physical strength and his speech. Daniel confesses that the vision he's received has added to his sorrows, were his pains. He finds it difficult to speak because both strength and breath have failed him. He's almost completely helpless, and he asks the messenger, "How can I, as a lowly servant of the Lord, have a conversation with you, so great a servant of my Lord?" And then for the third time in this chapter, Daniel is strengthened supernaturally. This may be the same angel that addressed him in verse 11. The wording he uses is similar, and so is his designation of, "O man, greatly beloved." He encourages Daniel to receive peace from God and to be strong, and he repeats those words for emphasis. The words that he spoke were enough to strengthen Daniel to the point where he could respond and say, "Let my Lord speak." Three times now in this chapter, an angelic being has strengthened Daniel. Why is that? Well, it seems that what the angel is about to reveal to Daniel in chapters 11 and 12 must be frighteningly vivid and of tremendous importance. John Woolford notes that this triple strengthening of Daniel is sometimes compared to Jesus' experience in the Garden of Gethsemane, just prior to going to the cross. In both cases, an angel is the source of strengthening. In both cases, it's three times. This is the final time in this vision where Daniel is strengthened by a heavenly messenger. Verse 20 begins with the angel asking Daniel, "Do you know why I have come to you?" Now that may seem a bit strange to us because the angel had explained his reason for coming. But don't forget, Daniel had been through the ringer, as we might say. The mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical stimulation Daniel has been through has been extreme. Several times in this vision, he's been so weak he can't stand upright or even have the strength to speak audibly. Evidently, the angel is returning to do battle with the prince of Persia. And we might ask, what's up with that? Hadn't Michael defeated this demonic spirit? Yes, he had. And the prince of Persia's influence was waning on the world scene. We know that because of what the angel says next. But the history of warfare is filled with examples where a foe has been conquered, he's been subjugated, but periodic conflicts flare up because there's this smoldering resentment of those who have been conquered. So there's a need for continual vigilance. The angel's message implies that when the Persian Empire passes off the world scene, he will then need to do battle with the Prince of Greece. The mention of these two empires sets the stage for the prophecies that will be revealed in the following chapters. And it also tells us there's an invisible struggle going on in the spirit world between the cosmic forces of good and the forces of evil. We know that Satan and his demons have been given a certain amount of freedom to work their will in men and nations, but that freedom is proscribed by God's plans and God's purposes. The angel informs Daniel that he has come to show him the things that are noted in the Scripture of Truth. Evidently, God's plans for human history were already written down, but now they're given to Daniel to be included as part of Holy Scripture. You and I are blessed to be able to look into the things that Daniel recorded for us under the direction of the Holy Spirit. The recorded events of this chapter remind us of our human weakness and our inadequacy. On the other hand, they also remind us of God's divine enabling. Here we have an entire chapter devoted to highlighting these realities. At the very least, that should alert us to the fact that the revelation to follow is of vital importance for God's purposes, for the world, and for us as his followers. Now, as we move to the close of this message, what are some practical things that we can take away from this text? First, Daniel's love for God and for God's people is exemplary. That love motivated him to spend significant time seeking God's face on the behalf of his people. If the heavenly messenger had not showed up after the span of 21 days, would Daniel have continued his fasting and intercession? I don't know, but Daniel's character seems to indicate that he would have. And so I ask you, how deep is your love for your fellow believers? How deep is my love for them, my brothers and sisters? Would you and I willingly make this kind of sacrifice for others because we're concerned about their well-being? 1 John 4:20 reminds us that our love for our brothers and sisters is an accurate measure of our love for God. And then, in addition, we're given a glimpse into the heavenly places where angels and demons contend for their respective masters. To think this was limited to Daniel's time is naive and dangerous. Paul's advice in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 to 18 regarding spiritual warfare is vitally important in our day. The principalities and powers of darkness know their time is short, and they are accelerating their evil influence over the kingdoms of this world. You can see it almost daily. And this acceleration is fueling the rise of persecution of believers. While the Western world, where many of us live, hasn't experienced this in the past, that's changing. Any mention of absolute truth or biblical morality isn't welcome in the public square, and it's denounced as a bigotry or a phobia. The stage is being set for the lawless one, the man of sin, who will temporarily bring the whole world under his demonic influence and control. My friend, let's be alert to what's happening around us. And finally, let's recognize that God alone is the source of our strength. Whatever we need to face, we have His promise that He will never leave us or forsake us. The message we're called to deliver as His ambassadors isn't designed to make us likable in this world. Jesus said, "They hated me, and they're going to hate you." But let's rest assured, the glorious vision that Daniel saw was but a foretaste of the glorious kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For Daniel, it was a vision. For us, it may soon be reality. Maranatha.
I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew He moved my soul to seek Him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true, no, I was found of Thee. Thou didst reach forth Thy hand and mine enfold. I walked and sang, not on the storm-vexed sea. 'Twas not so much that I on Thee took hold, as Thou, dear Lord, on me. I find I walk, I love but all the whole of love is but my answer, Lord, to Thee. For Thou wert long before and with my soul, always Thou lovest me.
My friend, were you blessed by our study from Daniel chapter 10? If so, you can request a copy of today's teaching on an audio CD or in a printed manuscript. Just ask for the teaching, A Glorious Vision. You can contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another option is to log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org and use the contact button that's right on our homepage. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Braeswood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. You can also listen to any of our archived programming when you visit the website. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of today's teaching, A Glorious Vision. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. We depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, I'll look for you next week here on the Voice of Hope. And until we meet again,